first round of Jacksonville city elections is less than a week away. Four candidates are running to be the mayor. Just ahead, we talk to one of them. Omega Allen is here. Good morning, live from Studio 5. It's First Coast Connect on 89.9. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Jessica Palumbo, sitting in for Melissa Ross, who's on vacation. First Coast Connect, always live on the radio, and now catch our daily podcast on iTunes. And just ahead, we'll take your calls for mayoral candidate Omega Allen. That number is 549-2937. Then WJCT CEO Michael Boylan joins us to talk about everything happening around this station. Later, we'll preview next week's Generation W conference, and we'll get the rundown of this weekend's events from The Spectator. All of that and more coming up this hour. But first, four candidates are running to be Jacksonville mayor. One of them is unaffiliated candidate Omega Allen. She is here in the studio this morning. Omega Allen, welcome to First Coast Connect.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. To our listeners, what are your questions for Ms. Allen? That number again is 549-2937, or go to wjctnews.org/firstcoastconnect to email us, or tweet me at Jessica Pub Radio. That's Jessica PUB Radio. Last night, voters watched you debate the three other candidates at JU. How do you feel about that debate?
I feel good about it.
Anything you thought about after the debate that you wish you had said during the debate?
Well, of course, you know, there's always something when you look back. I realized I said absolutely nothing about the fact that I have the academic credentials to actually run the city. I have an MBA from Jacksonville University. I've completed my doctoral studies in public administration with a concentration in municipal government. I'm an entrepreneur since my 20s here in Jacksonville, business owner for over 30 years. I'm a former city employee managing a city program. I'm the former chair of a quasi-governmental agency, the Northwest Jacksonville Economic Development Trust Fund. So I know how the city works from the inside as well. And the format just did not lend itself for me to be able to say that without just going off on a tangent and not answering the question. So that was probably the biggest thing that I hoped that I had an opportunity to say.
Okay. Something we want to ask you right off the bat, a lot of Facebook listeners have asked us about this, and a UNF poll shows 62% support for adding protections to the city's human rights ordinance to protect gay and transgender people. Lee on Facebook asks, I'd like a yes or no answer on Omega Allen's support for an HRO expansion. So yes or no to that?
The answer is yes, but not just yes. It is yes, I believe that everyone deserves the right to have housing and employment, and I would be in favor of crafting a document that reflects and protects that right.
Would that be different from an expansion of the city's existing human rights ordinance?
It may very well be. I'd have to look very closely again at the document and just making sure that it is crafted to protect the rights of everybody to have a place to work and a place to live, regardless to anything else in their lives.
Okay. A related question from Eric on Facebook. He asks, would you hire an LGBT job applicant who was 100% qualified for the job?
Why not? Yes.
Okay. Omega Allen, when you ask yourself why you want to be mayor, what is one thing, either a single issue or something within yourself, that most motivates you think, to seek this office?
Jacksonville is 40 years or more behind the curve of its potential. And I believe that we need someone who is not tied to political agendas, someone who has the heart and mind of the people at heart, someone who's wanting to see the will of the people actually enacted in government. And that's why I call myself the people's mayor.
What are you seeing among the will of the people that you think is not being represented right now?
Particularly on the north side of Jacksonville, the economic development that now seems to be, you know, talked about but has not happened, and not just in this administration, but, you know, for decades, it has been neglected, and we need to bring commerce back to that area so that the people living in North Jacksonville who pay taxes just as everyone else does has an opportunity to have a return on their investment.
Well, that relates to another question we got on Facebook from William. He asks about your plans to increase investment and economic opportunity on the Northwest side. So can you go into more of how you would try to do that?
Sure. The very first thing that I would do as mayor is to appoint a liaison, to keep their finger on the pulse of what's happening and the desires of the people in North Jacksonville. That would be my immediate presence in the north area of Jacksonville, and that person would report directly to me, and that person will, if at any point I am needed on the scene, I will be right there to answer the questions or whatever. But initially, I believe that I would have the tax appraiser to give me the numbers on how much money is being generated on the tax roll in North Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. Then you take those numbers, because investors come into our area or into any area based upon rooftops and economics. So you take that number, which is great, I'm sure, and I would use those numbers to direct commerce into those areas, because that's what has been lacking. People have not been directing, administrations after administration have not been directing commerce into that area. We have directed when we have people coming into the area, we sell them on this side, we sell them on that side of town. No one is selling the north side of Jacksonville, which is Jacksonville's best kept secret.
If you're just joining us, we are talking to Jacksonville mayoral candidate Omega Allen. Your questions at 549-2937. Right now, we're going to go to the phones. We have some calls on the line. Lynn is calling from the beaches. Lynn, you're on with Omega Allen. What's your question?
Well, first, I'd like to make the statement. Good morning, Ms. Allen. I heard you for the second time last evening at the university, and I was, as an early voter, I was amazed to hear just after I voted and checked your name that you weren't even being considered. So last evening when I saw you on the stage, I was, at last, they've got somebody out there that sounds like she is not ready for a dogfight. I mean, I was just very impressed with the calmness and the coolness, and it has to be obvious to anyone who watched that you have a profound ability to deal with some of the rancor that was surrounding you last evening.
Thank you for your comment. Lynn, do you have any questions for Omega Allen?
No, I just wanted to mention that because I think there's a lot of people who are doing early voting, and if they see her name at the top, that's where it is, they need to check that because she could be voted in. And I'd like to see that happen.
Thank you, Lynn. I appreciate that.
Thank you, Lynn. Going now to John in San Marco. John, you're on the air.
Good morning, Jessica, and good morning, Ms. Allen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name is John Hancock, and I want to be the first to give you a funny name endorsement, 100%. The major difference, please forgive me, Jessica, you're doing a great job, by the way. I have got mine going in 1,000 directions. But the main difference is it's a female. That's just what I see here in Jacksonville. It's the same choice. It's Southern, conservative, male, know-it-all. We've done it that way 100 years. Women, and here's my difference. I'm asking you now, if you're listening, do something to help Omega. They only win by 5 or 6 votes, and they laugh. Here's the riddle for the day. Why was the Equal Rights Amendment really important to our grandmothers? They're not in the Constitution. There's no mention of women. So I am promoting women now. Take some, you already won. You already get 75% of the vote on every major issue. Just do it. Am I still on the air?
John, thank you for your comments.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, John. Omega, he brings up the point that you are the only woman in this race. Is that important?
It is very important. Women have a certain intuition. We are sensitive. We know how to listen. We've been entrusted with the future of our nation and our children. We've been entrusted to take care of the empires of men, their homes, and we do it so well. We can deal with five or six issues at the same time, giving each the attention that it needs. And you take that same skill set that and apply it to government, dealing with each area of town, building on its strengths, minimizing its weaknesses. And you can grow the economy that way when you pay attention to what's important, and we don't have testosterone issues where we're butting heads with each other. I can respect and bring to the table the opinions of men without, and include them in my administration without feeling threatened, and without making them feel threatened, because women are nurturers. We know how to make people feel accepted and feel good about themselves, glean from them that which is important, and just help them to grow in whatever area they're in. And I think that's important, that you are able to be inclusive in the way that you operate. And that's something that women have going for us kind of innately.
Okay. Chuck is on the line. Chuck is calling from the beaches. Chuck, you're on the air.
Hi, Omega. I watched the debate last night. I thought you did really, really well.
Good morning, Chuck.
You did great. But I have to say, I am for Mayor Brown. The reason I'm for Mayor Brown is because I really appreciate his stance on government and business. I didn't like Mr. Curry's answer last night about being in the North Side. He just said he'd been in a police car, and that's not where you learn about the North Side. The North Side, Arlington, they need our attention. But here's my question to you. I think I heard you before comment on the disparity between those who do not have and those who do have. And I was curious, are you familiar with the Davis family and what they've done for Edward Waters College in Mayo? The Weavers, what Mrs. Weaver does for women and their lifestyle changes. And Shad Khan, I can tell you, is responsible for thousands of jobs in Duval County. And I'd like you to comment on the disparity between those who do not have and people like the Weavers, the Davises, the wealthy in our community, and what they bring. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Chuck.
Well, Chuck, the disparity, I'm not sure that I recall saying anything about the Weavers or Mr. Khan or anything of that nature, but the disparity that concerns me is that economically, there is not a clear across-the-board opportunity for economic growth and development in some of our areas, particularly the north side of Jacksonville, the west side of Jacksonville, and now Arlington, all of which were thriving at one point. I'm a native of Jacksonville. I remember when Jacksonville had communities that were self-sustaining, that were able to garner whatever economic development they needed to from the entrepreneurs in those areas. And that has been the life of that particular aspect of Jacksonville has just been sucked out of the system, and it needs to be reinstated. And I believe that the mayor's job is to broker deals with the capitalists like the Weavers and Mr. Khan and Mr. Rummel to bring those people to the table and broker deals that are going to benefit the city of Jacksonville, but making sure that you take care of the city of Jacksonville so that we are not walking away with less than a good return on our investment. And I think that has been, listening to the public as I do, that seems to be the public view of what's happening. They don't see the investment that the city puts into different activities. They don't see the return. It's not trickling down to their table. And that's the problem that we have with it.
Speaking of economic development, at last night's debate, you went after Mayor Brown for using money on an economic development consultant. Can you explain what that was about?
Sure. When you talk about economic development in a particular area, I believe that you need to have people involved who understand the culture, who understand what's going on, understand the people, to bring people from outside of Jacksonville. There's a wealth of information, a wealth of individuals in Jacksonville, regardless to color, who are educated, who understand the people, who understand what's missing here, and to have brought someone in to the tune of $210,000 per year in salary, specifically for economic development, and after 3.5 years, we don't see any. That, to me, is not a good return on our investment. And of course, now at the time of elections, you talk about all of the things that are on the drawing board. When are they going to come off of the drawing board and actually start to happen? We didn't hear about any of these things until it was election time. We should have been hearing about this long before now.
And who is that person you're referring to with that salary?
The head of economic development. I don't really recall his name.
As you know, the Florida Times Union editorial board endorsed Bill Bishop for mayor. In their endorsement, they talked about each of the candidates, and the section about you was pretty favorable as well. But it ended saying that you would be better served by seeking a city council seat before you make a run for mayor. So why do you believe you should be mayor right now?
Let me first say in response to that comment, running for city council or being a council member is not a prerequisite for the job. And if you look back, that has never been the way that things operate. I believe that I am educationally sound and I have the credibility to run it. I have business experience. I have a heart for the people of Jacksonville, and government is supposed to be for and by the people. I have no agendas of that are related to parties. And with that freedom, I am free to deal with what's best for the people of Jacksonville, because the bottom line is that is what it's all about. And if you have it about anything other than that, it's twisted.
Now going to the phones, we have some calls on the line. Donna calling from Riverside. Donna, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello, Ms. Allen. It's very nice to speak with you.
Good morning,
and I
Donna.
Have also yesterday heard you for the second time, and obviously you are a very professional, intelligent, well-spoken woman who deserves a seat somewhere in Jacksonville. I'm just very impressed with how you have expressed yourself and your wants and your needs for the city of Jacksonville. But I have a concern that although this is not a one-issue litmus test for the mayor, the comments made on Melissa's show last time, I was very—it was cringeworthy. Your statements about the gay population, the HRO, which at that time you stated that you would not vote for it, and you seem to have some kind of restrictions on who you would allow to be discriminated on and who would not. It seems maybe women, yes, transgender, no. And I feel like you need to, I mean, the mayor or someone needs to evolve to a fuller understanding of voting for this. And in just real briefly, I was frustrated by the comments while I was waiting about the gentleman earlier who talks about grandmothers speaking for equal rights for women and how qualified you are as a woman. It just took me flashbacks to people fighting today for the human rights to non-discriminate, exactly what I fought for in the 70s, which was ERO, the Equal Rights Amendment that never got passed in the United States, and that we are now in 2015 still discriminating people based on just who they are. not by choice, but how they were born. Can you clarify that some?
Donna, thanks for the question.
Donna, good morning, and thank you for your comments, and thank you for the question. Yes, I can clarify that. I don't believe that anyone, and I don't know how to say it any more clearly, that I do not believe that anyone should be discriminated upon or against regardless to anything that's going on in their lives. I mean, everyone should be allowed the opportunity to have employment and to care for themselves and to have lodging. That's what I believe. I don't believe that anyone should be discriminated against.
You said earlier it was a yes but to the expanding the HRO to protect
people. The only reason I'm saying but is because I don't have the document, and I admit that I have not read the document in its entirety, so I have to reserve my right to form an opinion based upon having actually read it in totality and to grasp a good understanding of what was said as well as what was meant by what was said.
Okay. Now we go to Rick in Riverside. Rick, you're on the air.
Hi. I wanted to congratulate Ms. Allen on her performance in the mayoral debate. Like a lot of people say, she kind of turned my head around, and near as I can see now, she has my vote. I especially liked her position on what I call corporate welfare. It seems the last several administrations, the mayor can't throw money at private business quickly enough and never seems to hold their feet to the fire in terms of the public's payback on its investment. So I wanted to ask first how she'll meter the benefit versus the cost. And also, I wanted to get her opinion on a living wage for the people who work for Jacksonville. I think it's a shame that somebody should work, a full-time job and yet qualify for food stamps when, they are being paid out of the public coffers for necessary work.
Rick, thanks for the questions.
Thank you, Rick, so much. And thank you for your support. It's called the working poor, and I have such a problem with that. I call it sustaining wage employment is what I'd like to bring to Jacksonville, and do so by dealing with organizations, with companies rather, corporations that are looking for a new home and bringing things to particularly the north side of Jacksonville, not because of ethnosis, but not because of ethnic groups, but because North Jacksonville is a diamond in the rough. It's Jacksonville's best kept secret. We have so much area up there that we could expand with manufacturing. All kinds of industries can go there that will bring sustaining wage employment. And I say sustaining so that people can actually sustain a quality of life that they desire and deserve. I would work with those, and as I said before, brokering deals that will bring economic growth to areas that have been lacking attention in Jacksonville. So that's kind of how I would go about it. I think that we need someone who will make sure that Jacksonville is not not pulling the short end of the stick when all of the economic answers are given. I think that we need to make sure that we have strength, leadership with strength enough to say, no, we have to walk away with X amount of dollars because I have to report to the people that when I spent their money, this was their return. And if you don't go at it that way, you will continue to let others walk away with the lion's share and then have to give you, the people, an excuse as to why we're still in this economic hole.
And we are going to have to close there. We're out of time to take more questions. Thank you to everyone who called in, and thank you so much, Omega Allen, for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been my pleasure. And thank you, listening audience.
There's much more still ahead. Later in this hour, The Spectator, Carrie Speckman, will be here to talk about what's happening around town this weekend. Up next, WJCT President Michael Boylan. That's after this.
WJCT invites you to attend the One Jax Forum in its Civil Discourse Series, When Race and Authority Come Face to Face. Moderated by UNF President John Delaney, featured members of the panel will be Sheriff John Rutherford and EWC President Nat Glover, Monday, March 23rd at 7 p.m. in the University Center on the UNF campus. The forum is free and open to the public, but a ticket is required. www.unf.edu/OneJax.
Congratulations to writer James English, winner of the first quarter of The Square. Now it's your chance to show off your art, whether it's music, visual art, sculpture, poetry, and more. Go to wjct.org/The Square. Check out the amazing local talent and submit your work now.
When a mama and daddy moved into the house across the street.
Welcome back to First Coast Connect on 89.9. I'm Jessica Palumbo. From The Year of the River to a new Ken Burns documentary, there's a lot going on here at WJCT. WJCT President Michael Boylan joins us now. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here, as always.
We have a few topics to discuss this morning. The WJCT strategic plan is one of them.
Always riveting conversation for our listeners out there, but I always like to take the opportunity to let folks know what's happening inside the submarine. Most people think of us, I think of us as sort of this giant submarine, but people only see our periscope, which is the services that we provide over the air and outreach and online. But there's a lot of activity, a lot of great people working in this building. We've got great support from our Board of Trustees and our Community Advisory Board. And we've been working on our three-year strategic plan, focusing on our big four pillars, which is our fiscal stability, organizational effectiveness. As you know, we had a great conversation with staff about that yesterday, talking about positioning, how people see us in this community. And this is part of that conversation, getting people to understand how we serve this community in a variety of ways. And certainly content creation. More and more our role is changing from being in that distribution business and more focusing on content creation, much like this particular program.
That's right. Okay. The Ken Burns cancer documentary is coming up on television.
Yeah, Ken is the executive producer on a series called Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. It airs March 31st, 31st, I believe it is. It's March 31st and April 1st at 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, those three evenings. And there is also a local documentary we will be airing on the 2nd at 8 o'clock. It's very comprehensive. It really takes a very in-depth look at the history and progression and the realization of what cancer is and what it's done to our civilization over the course of time and what's happening today to fight that terrible disease.
Yes, and that local production focuses on a family right here
it
on
does.
The First
The
Coast.
Eau Claire family, a difficult story, to be sure. You wouldn't wish that kind of experience in any family. I do want to recognize some of our local sponsors. Of course, the Moffitt Cancer Center is providing statewide support for the distribution of this program, but also Baptist Health and Mayo Clinic are part of the Cancer of All Maladies series and sponsoring the local documentary are Wolfson Children's Hospital and Mayo Clinic. So I want to recognize them for their continuing partnership.
And that Ken Burns documentary is called Cancer, the Emperor of All Maladies. That'll be on WJCT Public Television.
That's correct. It, as I said, the original premiere airing is on March the 30th at 9 o'clock with the following episodes the next two nights.
And we are right in the middle of the Year of the River.
We're very excited about our continuing participation and support of the Year of the River. WJCT actually is serving as the fiscal agent for the Cultural Fusion Group on this particular initiative. We received some funding from the Community Foundation to allow us to do the kind of marketing and promotion. It is really a great effort on the part of the arts community to come together, and not just the arts community, some of what I would call the quality of life organizations in our community, to help us focus on, through the arts and through creativity, the value of our river. And I know that we at WJCT are going to be doing Stories of the River. We are going to be rebroadcasting the City of Bridges in a couple of weeks. So anyway, and we'll certainly be part of One Spark and the conversation around that as well as some other events. But I do want to put a shout out to our friends who are of Cultural Fusion who are making this a great community-wide initiative.
All right. And we will also be discussing Year of the River next week on this show.
That's right. This very Thursday, a week from now, I suspect Jeff Smith and a few others will be here to talk to you about what some of the upcoming activities are and events for that.
All right. Michael Boylan, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always.
Coming up, the Generation W Women's Leadership Conference is coming up, and we'll get a preview right after this break.
Join WJCT and Sid the Science Kid at MOSH for Nano Days, the biggest event for the smallest science. Meet Sid. Check out his newest Sid the Science Kid Encyclopedia of Discovery DVD and explore nanoscience through hands-on activities. Saturday, March 28th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Learn more at themosh.org.
Funding for this event was provided in part by N-Circle Entertainment.
This Friday on Closing the Loop, Don Del Don is a bank professional who's run numerous back office departments. It's not just Don who's moved from one name to another over his career. It's the banks themselves. Closing the Loop, every Friday during Morning Edition and All Things Considered on 89.9 WJCT.
Closing the Loop is sponsored in part by First Coast Home Pros, local specialists in carpet, grout, and upholstery cleaning.
Wherever you spend your morning, NPR's Morning Edition is there with you. Wherever the story takes place, NPR's Morning Edition connects it with you.
Dallas. Des Moines. Topeka.
Montana. Cleveland. San Francisco. Denver.
Philadelphia. Minneapolis. Miami.
Colorado. Washington.
You will own your morning, wherever you are, when you choose to spend tomorrow with Morning Edition from NPR News. Weekday mornings beginning at 5 on 89.9 WJCT, community-supported public radio.
I'm Christian McBride. This week on Jazz Night in America, it's a celebration.
My name is Ellis Marsalis. I'm 80 today.
Happy birthday, Ellis Marsalis. Let's give it up.
I just want to say to Mr. Marsalis, happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Ellis Marsalis, for your 80th birthday.
Ellis, just have a swinging happy birthday, and I can't wait to hear you play.
Oh, thank you.
That's this week on Jazz Night in America.
Saturday nights at 8 on 89.9 WJCT.
Welcome back to First Coast Connect. Northeast Florida's women's leadership event, Generation W, is happening next week on the UNF campus. The theme for this fourth annual conference is Passion and Purpose, and inspiring people to improve their lives and their communities. Here with more, we welcome Generation W founder Donna Orender.
Hello, how are you?
And Rebecca Sinclair, Senior Vice President and Chief Human Resources Officer with Bilo Holdings.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Generation W is happening next Friday.
Yes, it is. Winn-Dixie is the presenting sponsor. We've been doing this for 4 years. It's great to be involved with Generation W. It's a phenomenal women's leadership conference.
And what events do you have planned for this year's conference?
Well, we're going to be supporting our sponsorship. We're going to be providing lunch with our chefs. They're quite the culinary group, so we're going to have some delicious food. We have a new line of Full Circle natural and organic products that we're going to use during the breaks because we know that women want to be healthy and fortify their body with good food and sustenance. So we're happy to have that group. And then we're going to do a little selfie station and have a little fun where the women can come in and talk about their experience in the program and what they've learned.
And Donna, can you tell us what's different this year from past conferences?
What is different? I can tell you what's going to be great. Right? We've got, as we've talked about before, we have phenomenal speakers. The program's coming together really remarkably well. There is something that will be there for everyone's interest. I mean, everybody wants to be the best they can be, and there are so many people with inspiring stories. I really think that stories are a currency where we connect. Mm-hmm. And I think that this year, the experts, the presenters, the speakers, all who are coming are really going to bring some very motivational and inspiring lessons and things for us to learn together.
So what is the schedule generally, the program? How long is it? Is it one full day?
It's one full day. It's a day you will remember and re-experience the entire year. So the doors open at 7 a.m., mm-hmm. only because we'll expect a full house in the theater at the Lazara beautiful UNF complex, who are our co-hosts. We'll start at 8, and we always have lots of surprises in terms of the kind of energy and entertainment that we have. I do want to say in particular, because I looked at it this morning, was there's a woman named Tracy McMillian, who's one of the foremost specialists, experts on women and investing. You know, women, we think about money differently. We approach the investing world differently. Mm-hmm. She's in a phenomenal, I heard her speak and said, oh my goodness, I can understand this woman. She's from Wells Fargo and she's flying in specially for that. Okay. So anybody who wants to come, I don't know. What about you, Rebecca? I think you probably like to make sure that the money that you have, you can invest wisely.
Listen, yeah, it has to, you know, we have to be able to look out for ourselves and our family and be prepared for our retirements. And knowing how to make those good choices and having somebody that can break it down is always great.
So we have some investment advice. What other speakers will be talking?
Well, the morning we'll start off with a phenomenal woman named Elise Nelson, who was the CEO of Vital Voices, who is an organization founded originally by Hillary Clinton, which is all about investing in women around the world. Mm. Her stories of women around the world and what they do to create change and build communities in some of the most war-torn regions as well as others is really fascinating. We also have this panel, of course, that we're doing on really looking at the culture around violence in women. Mm. It's a tough topic. But as Shirley Webb here at this Resource Women's Center here in Jacksonville said, what's wrong with this picture? It's like, well, let's dig in as a community and figure out what is wrong. What can we do about it? What do we need to understand? And then what can we change? And we have, you know, national experts coming to speak about that. Mm. Deb Walton grew up on a sheep farm in Australia, now leads one of the great financial content companies as president of that division for Thomson Reuters, will be here to share her story. And then we've got some leading men in our community, which we really love. Mark Lamping, president of the Jaguars, Steve Halverson, president of Haskell. We have Eric Mann, president of the YMCA, along with Audrey Moran and Tracy Toomer, another great friend from Buy Low Holdings, to talk about gender equality, he for she, generation we. How do we in a united way really access talent across the board so we're not competing with teams that only have 50% of the talent? How do we get 100% of the talent? With all this talk about Jacksonville lately, you know, emerging and continuing to grow and be on top, what a great way to really explore that. And I want to say that we are so grateful to Winn-Dixie. As Rebecca said, they've been with us since the beginning. Right? We had a dream and now we're all living this dream and it's pretty exciting.
So yeah. It's the Generation W Women's Leadership Conference. Who is it geared toward?
I can speak to it from a Winn-Dixie perspective and also as a female leader myself. Is, you know, we have over 70,000 associates and it started with the women of Winn-Dixie and wanting to grow in their careers, wanting to figure out how to juggle it all, how to be everything they need to be successful, manage their families, manage their lives, and we really wanted to make sure the topics were rich and important and connected to the community. And the great partnership we have with Generation W allows us to take our women and our message and work with them and come up with this phenomenal schedule to support all of us and inspire us to know that we can do it and we can make a difference and we can juggle it all.
Registration still open for this?
Registration is still open, but I would say that at this point in time, I know Jacksonville's a late market. I'm like that too. I need 73 emails on the 74th. But honestly, if you want to be in a seat,
okay,
and we will tell you that you do, then you should register today.
Okay, and that is March 27th at UNF.
Right.
All day. The Generation W Women's Leadership Conference. Thank you so much. We've been talking with Generation W founder Donna Orender and Rebecca Sinclair, Senior VP and Chief Human Resources Officer with Buy Low Holdings. Thank you for being here, both of you.
Thank you.
All right. More coming up after this. Back in a moment with The Spectator and GastroFest. That's after this.
The Florida legislature is in session, and Capitol Report is your nightly connection to what's happening in Tallahassee as lawmakers debate and decide issues that affect all Floridians, such as expanding health care and gambling, protecting the state's water resources, private versus public schools, and prison reform. Hear Capitol Report each weeknight during the legislative session on this Florida Public Radio station.
That's Tuesday through Friday nights at 6:30 on 89.9 WJCT.
On the next Diane Rehm Show, Interior Secretary Sally Jewell on the Obama administration's energy priorities, why she wants tougher pollution rules for federal land, incentives for wind and solar, and a focus on cutting carbon pollution.
Weekday mornings at 10 on 89.9.
Looking for something different musically? Listen to After Hours weeknights at 7 on 89.9 FM, from classical to country.
Give me a word, give me a sign. Show me where to look and tell me what will I find. What will I find? Lay me on the ground.
Welcome back. I'm Jessica Palumbo. This is First Coast Connect. This weekend, downtown Jacksonville's Hemming Park will be taken over by GastroFest, a celebration of food here on the First Coast. The event will feature cooking demos, workshops, live music, and local cookbook signings. Jeff Spear is the owner of the Studio Spear Food Marketing Company. He'll be appearing at GastroFest on Saturday with his book, The First Coast Heritage Cookbook. He joins us now with a quick preview. Jeff Spear, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me in.
So this is all taking place at this Saturday, March 21st, in
Hemming
Park.
Absolutely. I hope everybody is going to be hungry when they come in. There's certainly no shortage of tasting opportunities are going to be there. A gazillion food trucks, as many restaurateurs are going to be there, all tasting fabulous stuff.
Yep.
There are a few of us doing cooking demos. I'm doing one that are some of the recipes from the book.
Okay.
It's just going to be a... loosen up your jaw. Be ready to come in.
Unhinge it, ready to pour some food in
there.
That's
right. That's right.
All right. So what are you going to be cooking for people?
Well, you know, my book deals with the culinary heritage along the First Coast, the ingredient influences that the Spanish, the British, the French, and the African slaves had. And so one of the things that everybody knows about is the fishing that's here. So I'm, and one of the recipes out of the book is a smoked trout dip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing the start of the meal, the middle of the meal, and the end of the meal. So there's a smoked trout dip. The Indians worked with what's called the Three Sisters, which is squash, corn, and beans. And so I'm doing a corn salad, which is a tribute to the Indians. And then the British brought in sugar and the Spanish brought in citrus. So I'm finishing up with orange butter creams.
Oh, wow. Where are you going to be set up for that tasting?
It's somewhere on the park. It's called the Seabest Stage. I don't know exactly where it is.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually arriving early so I can find it and set up.
Okay.
This is the first year for the event, so it's new for all of us.
What are you most looking forward to? What are you going to go check out when you get to GastroFest?
The sheer variety. I mean, the number of food trucks and restaurants. There's something for everyone. And then I just recently learned that they also have a kids area so the kids can have fun. And so it really becomes, you know, it's one of those cliche expressions, it's great for the whole family, but it actually is. And, you know, there'll be foods for all palates.
Yeah, I understand there's going to be some movies that are related to food also showing that day.
I haven't heard that, but that's great. I have to tell you, I just watched The 100-Foot Journey last night.
What is that?
This is a book about an Indian family that moves to France, and there's a one Michelin-starred restaurant across the street, and there's a clash of cultures between the Indian and the French, and it's a charming movie. It's a charming book, and you know, I don't know if they're going to show that, but there's certainly no shortage of films to help get you hungry.
All right. Well, GastroFest is all day March 21st, this Saturday. And the whole schedule of events and tastings, demos, movies, everything is available at gastrofest.com. Thank you so much, Jeff Spear.
Sure. Thank you.
And finally, this hour, there's lots to do across the First Coast this weekend. Here here as she is every Thursday to take us around town. We welcome the mistress of mayhem. That's fun to say. The maven of mirth, Jacksonville Magazine's Carrie Speckman is
Yay!
Here. Yay, Carrie!
Melissa didn't tell you you had to clap. Is that not on? Is that in the notes?
Clap, 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 clap.
Yes,
all right.
Thank you. Are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I don't know if I am ready for this.
I think you're ready. I think you can handle it. But the question is, can I pull up my list talk about it? No, go ahead. You can start.
Okay, so let's start with Caring Chefs.
Yes, Caring Chefs is today. They've been doing it for decades.
Okay.
And they have local celebrities serving their favorite food, like, you know, kind of buffet style.
Okay.
And it's a benefit for Salvation Army.
Okay.
And that is today at the Prime Osborne.
Today at the Prime Osborne. Is that tonight?
Today.
Like all day.
It's like lunch.
Oh, okay.
It's a lunch deal.
Caring Chefs lunch at the Prime Osborne today.
Yes.
Also today we have some hoops.
Some hoops, yeah. Proud of UNF. They did the city proud, but it's bittersweet.
Yeah.
But there's also some rounds 1 and 2, preliminary rounds. There's 3-4 different games today, and then there are 2 games on Saturday.
And these are all happening here in town.
Correct. Like Baylor, Georgia State, Ole Miss. Yes, they
okay.
are. They'll all be here.
Baylor versus Georgia State at 1:40. That's the earliest game, and going all the way down to tonight, 7:20, North Carolina versus Harvard.
Yep.
All right.
I didn't even know Harvard had a basketball team.
All right. So looking at tonight, there is the spring cocktail tasting going on.
Yes, at Cafe Nola. They will have a variety of spring cocktails, wines, and beers, along with some small bites of the season. Mm-hmm. And it's also free admission to Mocha for everybody.
Oh.
So you can go, have a few bites, have a few sips, and then go check out the art.
Very nice. And some local St. Augustine Distillery vodka and gin is going to be there.
Yes. Gin and I do not have a good backstory.
Oh, there's always one alcohol that, yeah.
Well, I have more than one. And more than one story for more than one, but whatever.
All right.
I digress.
I Love Lucy.
Yes, I Love Lucy.
Yes.
This sounds kind of cool, actually. I haven't been yet, but they're recreating two actual episodes.
Oh, my gosh.
On stage, and then they have a guy who's an announcer who was talking to the audience like he's, you know, the television host, kind of letting everybody know what happens, and they have singers doing, like, 50s-style commercials.
That sounds cute.
Yeah, I heard it was really good.
That's happening at the Times Union Center tonight through Sunday.
That is correct.
All right. So what's happening tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night, there's Tom Coughlin wine gala. A must-attend event, as they say. Mm. We'll have food from 36 area restaurants and 250 wines.
Wow, that's a lot of wines.
And I would not attempt to drink all of them.
No.
So don't even go there with that goal.
Okay.
That would not be good. And it supports the Tom Coughlin J Fund Foundation. And then tomorrow, of course, Gastrofest.
Saturday,
I'm predicting it's going to be one of the best events of the year, and it's never even happened before,
right.
So I'm predicting that.
What are you most looking forward to at Gastrofest?
Eating all kinds of food. I mean, I don't know if Jeff knows how many restaurants are there, but a ton, and they change, like they have restaurants from 11 till 3, and then 3 to 7, and 7 to 11, so they will change throughout the day. So I'm just excited.
Just keep eating.
Exactly. I'm excited to try restaurants I've never tried before.
All right. So Saturday night, after you've stuffed your face, you can head on over to the Florida Theater.
Yes, you can, for the B-52s.
That is exciting.
I know. And I'm calling them, this should be the B-39s. Do I have music?
Mm, yep.
I knew you were going to play this song. I thought maybe you would do Rock Lobster like you would. I thought so, but you probably don't even, you weren't even old enough when that song came out, Sean.
You were saying they should be called the B-39?
Because it's only 3 of the 4 are going to be here.
Uh-huh.
So it's like 3/4 of the B-52s would be the B-39s. And I did have to actually use the calculator to figure that out.
Yeah, I would think so.
But it worked out great.
So which one is not coming?
The guitarist guy.
Okay.
I don't remember his name. But the two gals and the main singer, crazy guy, Fred. I think his name's Fred.
All right.
I don't know, but he'll be there.
All the parts that you sing at karaoke are going to be there.
Oh, don't worry. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. And also on Saturday, we have an event, Ballots, Brews, and Bands.
Yes.
What is that all
this
about?
This is sponsored by the Young Voters Coalition. And okay. I'll tell you what, they are making stuff happen. And so it's an event on Sunday from 1 to 6. It's a Borough Bar and Burrito Gallery. They're going to have bands. And I think if you wear your I Voted sticker, you get a free beer, courtesy of Attorney John Phillips.
All right. Well, go vote, people. Thank you to The Spectator for being here. That's all the time we have
for thank
today.
You.
That is our program. Thank you to all of our guests and all of our callers. The show's producer is Sean Birch. The show's theme song is composed and performed by Pyotr Chepchik. Have questions or comments about First Coast Connect? Send us an email at firstcoastconnect@wjct.org. Make sure to catch our daily podcasts. Also, they are up on iTunes. I'm Jessica Palumbo. You're listening to First Coast Connect on 89.9 WJCT FM Jacksonville. Your community, your world. We'll be right back here at 9 tomorrow with the Media Roundtable discussing the biggest stories of the week. Have a great day.
Support for First Coast Connect is provided by Baptist Health and the North Florida TPO.